Back in the day, insurance agents visited with their clients around the kitchen table to collect premiums and discuss coverage. Nowadays, people are more concerned with convenience and price without really understanding what they're purchasing. Our goal for each show is to bring some of that kitchen table conversation back in order to help our listeners understand their coverage and how it relates to their particular situation. We would like to mention that every insurance company is a little different as far as their policies and coverage. Please contact your insurance company for more information on your particular situation. And now, let's talk insurance. Hello and welcome once again to Let's Talk Insurance, a weekly podcast where we share with you all things insurance. I am Matt. We are from M. Vanderplow Insurance Agency, located in beautiful downtown Zeeland, Michigan. If you're anywhere in Lake Michigan, Lakeshore, you can give us a call, 616-396-1497. Anywhere else in the state of Michigan, you can call us toll-free, 1-800-968-1497. You want to visit us on the web, you can certainly do that. It doesn't matter if you're on a desktop, laptop, smartphone, or tablet, it's all the same address, and that's mvpinsure.us. That's mvpinsure.us. You want to send us an email too? I'll give you our former email address, the one that we still use today, and that is marsiliains@gmail.com. That's marsiliains@gmail.com. All right, I just recently received information from one of our insurance carriers, Frankenmuth Insurance, in regards to changes to the Michigan no-fault insurance reform. That was recently passed earlier this year, and one of the items on the reform has to do with the personal injury protection, or more commonly known as the medical coverage on your auto policy. Now, currently, at least until next June, July, when the law takes effect, if you are injured in the state of Michigan, your automobile injuries will be covered 100% for as long as medically necessary. Some people call it unlimited medical, but really technically it's for as long as medically necessary. So if you happen to become a quadriplegic or paraplegic because of an auto accident, anything relating to that auto accident would be covered 100% for as long as you live. So again, if you need a wheelchair update, if the wheelchair that you have is older, they have to pay for a wheelchair, they have to pay for retrofitting your home so you can get around. You know, there are many things that are required being a paraplegic or quadriplegic due to an auto accident. And all of that stuff is covered 100%. Now, with the changes to the auto insurance reform, again, one of those being the personal injury protection, people will have a choice to choose what limit of medical coverage they want, or they can opt out altogether for medical coverage. Now, from my understanding, the minimum medical coverage that you can purchase is $250,000, and then that is for the life of the claim. So if you choose the $250,000 limit and you're injured in an auto accident, once the payments or the bills, costs incurred from the automobile injury reach $250,000, your insurance company is no longer going to pay any additional. Any bills or anything relating to that auto accident over and above the $250,000, well, you're going to have to go to your health insurance carrier for coverage. And of course, your health insurance has limits. They have deductibles, they have copays that are all going to be on you when it comes to auto insurance. So you may choose, hey, I'm going to do a $250,000 limit, save myself some money. Well, you get in a serious accident, that $250,000 will be used up just like that. And then you've got to go to your own personal health insurance And again, your health insurance has deductibles, it has co-pays that renew every year, right? So just because you use your health insurance this year and use up your, let's say you've got a $2,000 deductible, that $2,000 deductible is going to be renewed each and every year. So you have some serious medical issues from an auto accident that, again, goes over your $250,000. You've got to kick it over to your personal health insurance. Your health insurance, let's say this year you meet your $2,000 deductible, you meet all the co-pays and everything like that. Well, guess what? Starting January 1st, you start it all over again. You're going to have to come up with a $2,000 out of your own pocket. You're going to have to come up with your co-pays out of pocket. You're going to have to come up with, you know, everything all over again. And then even with your health insurance, I'm not sure if many people are aware, but you do have caps on your health insurance. Most carriers, I believe, have a $2 million lifetime cap. So if you use $2 million of your health insurance, your health insurance isn't going to cover it anymore. And then I believe you're going to have to get kicked over to Medicaid to cover the rest of it. So there's just this huge cascade of different things that are happening, and insurance companies are trying to scramble to figure out how this is all going to work. And again, people wanted to choose the limits that they want as far as their medical insurance, as far as their auto policy goes. And then there are some out there that say, hey, you know, my health insurance says that it will be primary in an auto accident. Why do I need to pay for the medical coverage on my auto policy? Well, that gives these people an opportunity to completely opt out of medical coverage on their policy if they believe that their health insurance plan will cover them in case of an auto accident. But again, you've got a lifetime cap on your personal health insurance. You've got deductibles that you have to meet. You've got co-pays. So there's a lot of things that people have to think about. Along with this, that will change who is covered on your auto policy for medical coverage. The most immediate change, according to this quick like overview of the Michigan no-fault reform, your medical or personal injury protection coverage will no longer extend to relatives who do not reside in the household of the named insured unless they are away at school, and non-relatives who reside in the household even if they are listed drivers. Right now, I've come across it many times where I have insureds that want to help their son or daughter out by keeping them on their personal auto policy, even though the son or daughter may maintain a residence elsewhere and are not in college. All right. When we're talking about in college, away at school, that means that the person that is away at school, a resident relative who is away at school, means that they maintain their residence at the insured's residence. They get their mail there. Their driver's license has the named insured's address on it. They may go to school for 6 to 9 months out of the year, but do spend 3 to 6 months at the residence of the named insured. Again, I have clients out there that want to help their son or daughter out. They're just starting out. They've got, you know, an apartment to pay for. They've got all these other expenses that they got to pay for. Mom and dad say, well, you know what? We're going to go ahead and help you out. You can leave your vehicle on our policy, and you'll get the benefit of our multi-policy discount, multi-vehicle discount, mom and dad's insurance score, and every other discount that mom and dad get on their policy. And they will keep them on the policy in order to get them lower insurance coverage. With the changes coming to the no-fault reform, If that person is not a resident relative, if that vehicle is garaged somewhere else, they have no PIP coverage. So they have no medical coverage off of the auto insurance policy. Now that's going to be a big deal. And then the second one, non-relatives who reside in the household, even if they're listed drivers. So you've got boyfriend and girlfriend that went in together and bought a car. So they're each insured on the policy. Or you've got fiancés that are living together, or roommates that are living together. They may be listed on the policy as driver because they have regular access to the vehicle, but they are not resident relatives. Even fiancés, they are not considered relatives until they get married. In this case, again, if they are non-relatives who reside in the house and are listed as a driver, there will be no PIP coverage come next June, July. Even though they're listed as a driver on the policy, there would be no medical coverage for non-relatives who reside in the household. This is a big deal, especially if we got a boyfriend or girlfriend that does not have their own auto policy. They may be listed because, you know, many of our insurance carriers, if they don't have insurance elsewhere, they're required to be listed and rated on an auto policy in the household. Reason being is because they have access to those vehicles. All right. What's going to have to happen is the boyfriend or girlfriend, the fiance, the roommate, the friend, whomever that is not a resident relative is going to have to purchase what's called a non-owned auto policy, which would give them liability and medical coverage even though they don't own a vehicle. So if they borrow the roommate's vehicle, the fiance's vehicle, the boyfriend girlfriend vehicle, they would have their own policy that would cover them for their own liability and their own medical. This is a big deal, people. In cases where the son or daughter has a vehicle garaged at their own residence, and is not a, they are not a part of the insured's household, or non-relatives who reside in the household, even if they're listed drivers, if they don't have their own medical coverage, they would be able to go to the Michigan Assigned Claims Plan and be able to get up to $250,000 in coverage. All right. It's not this is not an easy thing, for sure. Other things to be considering as far as the changes to the benefits. Says here that PIP benefits will no longer be provided by the insurance carrier of the owner, driver, and resident of the other vehicle as options in the order of priority. Now, here in the state of Michigan, currently we have, there's an order of priority. It's the driver of the vehicle. If the driver of the vehicle has medical coverage, then they'll go there for payment of the bills. If the driver doesn't have it, they'll go to the spouse. If the spouse doesn't have it, they'll go to the owner of the vehicle. If they go to the owner of the vehicle, they'll go to the driver of the other vehicle. If they don't got the driver of the other vehicle, then it goes to the claims association. That all changes. If the driver doesn't have coverage, they'll go to the spouse. If the spouse doesn't have coverage, then it's going to go to the, it's going to skip over the owner of the other vehicle, and it's going to go right to the owner of the other vehicle, the driver of the other vehicle, or the owner of the vehicle, driver of the other vehicle, and then the association. So it's going to go right to the association. So if the driver of the vehicle doesn't have coverage, the spouse of the driver doesn't have coverage, it's going to get kicked right over to the Claims Association or the Michigan Assigned Claims Plan, and they'll have up to $250,000 in coverage. Occupants and non-occupants who aren't eligible through a named insured spouse or resident relative will have to go and get coverage from the association, and again with a $250,000 limit. If you're the occupant of an employer-provided vehicle, currently if you're injured, whether you're driving a company vehicle or not, if you've got automobile coverage yourself personally, you would have to turn in a claim to your auto, your personal auto insurance carrier for your medical coverage. Now with these changes, that if you're occupant of an employer provided vehicle, you're going to have to go to your employer's auto insurance carrier for coverage. If you can't get coverage there, then you know, then you have to go through your own personal auto policy to get coverage. But first, you're going to have to go to your employer to pursue medical coverage. The next one, occupants of transportation company vehicles will generally pursue coverage to the insurer of the transportation company unless specifically excluded. Right now, if you're in a taxi, if you're on a city bus, if you're on a city train, and you're injured, you have to go to your personal auto policy for coverage. So if you're injured on a bus, you got to go to your personal auto policy to get coverage. All right. That, of course, is going to change, as I stated, in June and July next year. Occupants of the transportation company vehicles will have to go to the transportation company. So if you're injured on a city bus, you're going to have to go after the city bus people. If you're injured in a taxi, you're going to have to go into a taxi. So I guess in part they're putting the, you know, if the city or the Max Transit has the accident, then it's going to be the city or Max Transit that's going to have to provide coverage for your medical injuries. All right. Motorcyclists, nothing is going to change. They will pursue coverage in the same order of priority as under the previous law. Which means if the motor vehicle involved has a limited no-fault policy, the motorcyclist will receive limited benefits regardless of the motorcyclist's own PIP coverage. If the motor vehicle has opted out of PIP, then you're going to have to go down the list, all right, and then get things taken care of there. So if a motorcyclist is hit by another vehicle, regardless of fault, usually the way it goes is it goes by the driver of the other vehicle, owner of the other, driver of the other vehicle, spouse of the driver of the other vehicle, owner of the vehicle, and claims association. I believe it's been a few years, but I believe that's the way the order of priority goes when it comes to medical coverage for a motorcycle accident. And again, that's only if the motorcyclist is hit or gets in an accident with another motor vehicle. And again, it's regardless of fault. So the motorcyclist could be at fault in the accident, but their medical bills would be covered by the driver or spouse or owner of the vehicle that they hit. As crazy as that sounds. And that, again, that's here in the state of Michigan. I want to be clear with that. And then one other thing to consider is out-of-state residents are no longer entitled to PIP benefits for injury sustained in a Michigan motor vehicle accident unless the owner of the vehicle is both registered and insured in Michigan. So if we've got somebody that's visiting here from Florida, if you're visiting from Florida, the medical would match the state you're in. So if you're coming up here from Florida, you're injured in an auto accident here in the state of Michigan, your Florida policy coverage would mimic what we have here, and that would be the medical coverage for as long as medically necessary. So they would have, in effect, quote-unquote, lifetime medical benefits for any injuries relating to an auto accident that occurred in the state of Michigan. That's changed to you come up here to visit in Michigan, unless the vehicle you own, you get involved in an accident in, is one that you own, register, and insure here in the state of Michigan, your medical coverage is going to follow what you have in the state you came from. So if you come up here from Florida in your Florida insured vehicle, whatever medical coverage you have on that policy is the medical coverage you're going to get here in the state of Michigan. You come here from Illinois, you come here from South Dakota, you come here from California, whatever state you come from, you get into an auto accident in the state of Michigan, whatever medical coverage is listed on your policy is the coverage that you're going to receive. No longer is Michigan going to be a part of, allowing unlimited, quote unquote, unlimited or lifetime medical coverage for auto accidents if you're not a resident of the state, or if you don't, if the vehicle that you were involved in an accident with isn't owned by you, registered by you, and insured by you in the state of Michigan. Now, this is just a drop in the bucket of things that are going to change as far, and medical is just one portion of it. There are several other things that are going to change too. And insurance companies right now are trying to work with the Michigan government to figure out how to get this law enacted and in place before. There are two notes on here. One is July 11, 2019, 2020, I'm sorry, June 11, 2020. And then there's another date here, July 1st, 2020. All right. And it says here, will policyholders be able to change their PIP benefit as soon as like law goes into effect? For the changes that go into effect in July 2020, new forms will have to be completed to select new coverage limits. So that's something that we as insurance agents are going to have to work with our insurance carriers to send out these forms and try to explain to the insurers what these forms are. And just reaffirming that, okay, do you want limited medical? If you want to continue to have limited medical, you need to check the box and sign the form. If you want to opt out of medical coverage, you need to check the box and sign the form that you understand, what you're assigning. And then also when it comes to your bodily injury limits, I can see a lot more lawsuits happening here in the state of Michigan starting next July, when these changes come into effect. Because again, like I said, somebody opts out of medical coverage because they've got health insurance. Again, they've got health insurance that's got a lifetime cap. Most insurance companies, like I said, have a lifetime cap of $2 million. Also, they've got deductibles and co-pays that they're going to be responsible for. So I can see a lot of lawsuits coming into play to help them take care of their annual deductibles, co-pays, and whatever other fees or charges that happen as a result of their medical coverage. So we're going to be seeing forms to not only choose the personal injury protection coverage, but also to cover what things may be outside of their medical coverage. Again, if they choose to opt out, then they've got health insurance that they've got to deal with. If they choose a $250,000 limit, their injuries may exceed 250,000, so there's going to be a lawsuit to try to cover that. I foresee a really rough road for us insurance agents over the next year, actually over the next 2 years, trying to get our insureds to understand what they are purchasing, what coverages they are choosing, and then have to file all the proper paperwork so that the insurance companies have something to cover themselves. I think I may have to, as an insurance agent, come up with some sort of a form stating that these coverages and deductibles have been explained to me. I have decided to go with, you know, these particular coverages and deductibles, or I've chosen to completely opt out. I understand that I've been explained the what may happen as a result of my choices, and I choose to move forward with it. And that's to cover my butt in case of a claim where somebody chooses a $250,000 limit and gets in a serious accident and goes through that $250,000 within the first 30 days. I don't, by having that signed piece of paper will help prevent me, hopefully, from any lawsuits from an insured coming back and suing me. Well, you didn't explain to me that, you know, the $250,000 limit, it was a lifetime limit. It wasn't an annual limit. You should have informed me that I needed to purchase more coverage, yada, 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 this, that, and the other thing. By having that signed form, it's like you signed this and you dated this, understanding the coverages that you chose. I tried to tell you different, but you decided to do something on your own. That's one thing that I don't like about this law that was passed. There are no protections for us insurance agents. So unless we cover our own butts by having signed statements that the insureds have chosen particular limits and deductibles, I could see a glut of lawsuits filling up our court system, suing insurance agents, suing other people. It's just going to be a huge, huge mess, unfortunately. But this is what the people wanted, so this is what we're going to have to work with going forward. I know this has been a Michigan-centric podcast, but it's an important one because of the changes that are coming up. And again, this is just one small portion of the law having to do with the medical and the personal injury protection. There are other things that are going to change too, and I'm waiting to see how that's going to affect the insurance industry here in the state of Michigan. So stay tuned. Again, I'm just sharing with a brief overview of some of the changes that are coming. If you want to know more about the bill, do research on your own. Go online, look up Michigan No Fault Reform. It should bring up the bill itself and hopefully some other like Cliff's Notes, cheat sheets on what you can expect to see happening next June or July. So I want to thank you for tuning in to Let's Talk Insurance, the weekly podcast where we share with you all things insurance. We're located in beautiful downtown Zeeland, Michigan. If you're anywhere in the Lake Michigan Lakeshore area, you can give us a call, 616-396-1497. Anywhere else in the state of Michigan, you can call us toll-free, 1-800-968-1497. You can certainly visit us on the web. Doesn't matter if you're on a desktop, laptop, smartphone, or tablet. It's all the same address, and that's www.mvpinsure.us. That's mvpinsure.us. You want to shoot us an email, you can do that too. It's marciliains@gmail.com. That's marciliains@gmail.com. I want to thank you for tuning in each and every week to Let's Talk Insurance, the weekly podcast where we share with you all things insurance. And I hope you have a very good week. Take care.